You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, you guys. It's me, Salish. I'm so excited to share with you this next episode. I recorded this next episode my very first week of doing this podcast, and my microphone was off. I'm tripping over my words, all of the things, but I hope that you enjoy it and that you get so much love and wisdom from Tiana. She's really the bomb. And so I hope that you have a good time listening. And since I have you, if you haven't already, take a second and rate this podcast and leave us a review. Okay, that's all. You guys, peace and love and light. Enjoy. Welcome to Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I am your host, Salisha Thomas, and today we've got an actress, my friend, from Southern California, native to Southern California. She veers towards this big screen. You might have seen her in Silicon Valley, The Good Place. She is no stranger to the Hollywood Bowl. I love seeing her in Grease Live, Hairspray Live, and she's done a whole lot more than that, but she also just made her Broadway debut a couple years ago in The Cher Show. Welcome, Tiana O'Connor.
Oh my God, Alicia, you knew my whole resume.
I did my research, but like I didn't have to do too much research because I already knew.
Wow. You know, living and breathing, as my friend Tiffany would say, living and breathing.
We'll take it. We'll take it.
Yeah.
How are you? How are you doing?
You know, today, truthfully, I'm not great today. I'm not. But seeing you and speaking with you is bringing me some joy. But I just watched Daniel Cameron's response, or I guess he was giving the decision on the grand jury's decision on the Breonna Taylor case. Yeah. So it's been a heavy morning, and every day brings something different, you know? So I just try to honor how I feel in the moment and pivot where I need to and move deeper into whatever I'm feeling if I need to, or find a call to action, whatever.
I've been watching you. Like, it's like, it's inspiring to see you using your voice on your social media.
Thank you.
For real. And I totally feel that. And so I want to say thank you for coming on this show, doing this little podcast with me when there's so many other things happening in the world, in your life, in our life, you know, like, there are so many other things.
Of course I was going to be here and do your podcast. Come on.
Oh my gosh, I really appreciate. Like, I really love. So thank you so much. Like, gosh, now I want to talk about all those things, but I'm going to pivot for the purpose of this.
Come on, pivot, girl, pivot.
I want to first start off with how we met. How did we meet? I know it was like back in 2012.
Salisha, how did we meet?
Okay, so this is what I remember. I don't remember. I think it was either through Chester Lockhart.
That was it. Oh, I know. Todrick. I know what it was. We were doing a Todrick video. And I know exactly what video it was.
Well, I've only been in one. So
Ghetto Gangnam Style, right?
Yes.
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 And you were doing Hairspray at the time with Todrick and Chester at 3D Theatricals.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how we met.
So did we meet doing that video, or did we meet before then?
Yes. I think that's where we met, doing the video.
That I think sounds... so, because we didn't do a show together.
No. No. Mm-mm.
You had done Hairspray, but at Moonlight?
No, at the one in Long Beach.
MTW.
MTW. Musical Theater Guy.
Yes.
Yes.
That was a blast from the past. First of all, y'all, for those of you who are listening, if you have never, I don't ever talk about it, but if you have never seen Todrick Hall's Ghetto Gangnam Style.
Oh man.
Go treat yourself and go look that up.
Wow. I can't, I mean, I totally forgot that that is how we met. Because we used the set for Hairspray and everything. That is wild.
How the heck did he get them to do that?
I know. He's amazing. A sweet talker. Sweet talker, that one.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. So even back then in 2012, as long as I've known you, you have always embraced your curls.
Wow. Well, you know what? That's crazy because that's a shock to me because for such a long time, I didn't embrace my curls. Yeah, it wasn't until maybe my sophomore year of college that I started wearing my hair natural. From junior high up until that moment, I chemically straightened my hair and always wore extensions, always.
Okay, I'm gagged right now because I did not know that. I feel like back in the day and probably even recently, I went down rabbit hole after rabbit hole of you because I'm like, oh my gosh, you're so beautiful. Like all truly, truly, I'm like looking at your hair and I don't remember too many straight hair photos. I know that they existed, but yeah. I have always known you.
To have curly big hair.
Yes.
I know
yes.
It's so wild for me to think about because I can't imagine any, I mean, of course, you know, from time to time when I want to spice it up, I'll straighten my hair and I'll do the thing, but
right.
This is me, you know, this is me just,
yeah,
hair.
I think like it is at least like from like a, what is the word? Just like seeing like from people who are looking at you, it is such a big part of what makes you like, okay, I'm so excited to tell you this. I don't know if I ever told you this. When you were in town making your Broadway debut, when you were in rehearsals for the Cher show, I knew you were in town before I knew you were in town because I was in a restaurant and I saw a girl leaving with the most glorious hair and I was looking at her and I was like, I only know one person with hair like that.
Stop.
I never even saw your face. Out of all the people in the country, out of all the people in New York freaking city, I saw the back of your head and was like, Tiana in town? And then was like, oh, making her Broadway debut in Cher show and rehearsals have begun. Literally, that is how I identified you. Like, I did not even see your face.
That is so crazy. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I feel special. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Yeah, like, so, okay, so you touched a little bit on, like, your journey. Like, you used to chemically straighten, and then you said at what point did you kind of, I mean, you still, like, straighten it every now and then, but, like, what point did you stop that, did you say?
My sophomore year of college. So, in junior high, I always straightened my hair. Or, you know, would do protective styles in elementary school. Junior high came and I wanted it chemically straightened. Just because I was 12 or 13 or whatever and didn't know really how to do my hair or take care of it, you know?
Yeah.
And that was just an easier way and easier to straighten.
Yeah.
And kind of get on with the day. So I did that for years. And that was sort of my image in high school and then also freshman year of college as well. And then sophomore year came and my mom also went to school when I went to UCLA. So she got her marriage family therapy license.
That's awesome.
Yeah, during my UCLA years, and she told me that she couldn't pay for my hair anymore. I'm not paying for you to get your hair chemically straightened. We can't do it. No more relaxing. And so it was really my mom's fault. but I just embraced, you know, I embraced the curls, and I think I even did a Brazilian blowout. As like
I've always wondered about those. Did you like that?
No, because it did something weird to the top of my head. The curls didn't behave, and I still feel this way to this day, that they don't really behave like the rest of my head. Yeah, I don't know if it was left in for too long or what the deal was, but
did it burn? Did it burn at all?
I remember relaxers. Yeah, I remember perms like burning my scalp and like sometimes coming back with some scabs, which is not pleasant, but you know, that's
right.
Pain is beauty, right? Beauty is pain.
Oh gosh.
I know.
But these
know.
Days it's like, it's so crazy to hear you say that, because like your curls look so healthy and so like not thirsty. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it looks like they just drank a gallon of water and they're relaxing on the beach.
Oh, thank you for that. That means a lot, especially because lately I've been feeling that I just had to switch up my hair care routine.
Please tell me.
We'll be right back right after the break.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Okay, so I've never been huge into the diva curl. I wasn't that girl because I'm like, that's too expensive. And I was always the Cantu or the Shea Moisture. That's where I lived. I also really liked Renpure, which was a really cheap Target brand. And all of their products were really moisturizing and hydrating for the curls. So I loved their leave-in conditioner and just like let my hair soak that up and drink it like water. But recently I got into Pattern by Tracee Ellis Ross, and I
really
love it. I love it so much.
Look, I'm writing it down.
I've been using it for like 2 weeks now, and I just feel like my hair is happy.
Okay, so question, because I've not looked into her brand. Does she have like the silicone stuff and the parabens and the
No, I don't believe she does. I mean, I could go grab the bottle. We could read off the ingredients. But what I like about her brand specifically is that she has three different types of conditioners for three different types of curls. Or hair. Like, so if you have a finer hair that kind of locks in and product sort of stays in there a lot, you don't really want to use the heavy conditioner. You want to use the light conditioner because it's going to wash out a little bit easier and it's going to, you know, work through your hair a little bit better. I use the heavy.
I'm definitely taking notes. That's really what this podcast is for. So I can take everybody's tips.
I need your tips, girl. I need yours. Tell me your tips.
Are you kidding me? I am doing all the cheap stuff and I'm learning through these interviews. I'm like, gotta stop using that. Like, literally, I'm like, oh, I'm at the stage where I'm like embracing what is on my head. And for me, it's like, okay, the bigger, the better. Which is back in the day, it's like, oh, I gotta hide this. Like, I would put it into a French twist for like to get ready to go in front of the white people. Like, don't see any of my texture. Like,
oh, girl.
But like, now it's kind of like, I've got frizz, I've got a lot of volume. we're dealing with it.
It is what it is. Yeah. And I love that. I love that you're embracing your curls and you're embracing your hair more, because it is just going to make you
free.
Yes, it's just going to free you a little bit more. And
more.
I feel like everyone needs a little bit of that, you know?
I think it's almost like so underestimated, because I used to wear a lot of wigs, and I don't think there's anything wrong with, if you want to wear your hair straight, if you want to wear wigs, like all the things, like, we've got options, ladies. Okay. Like, I'm just in a point in my life when I'm like, I want to be natural and like, and embrace that. But if you want to do anything else, like, that is okay. Like, we are free to do whatever we want. But there was a period in my life where I was only wearing wigs because I didn't like the length of my hair, because this woman chopped it all off anyway. And the feeling of wearing wigs every day, like, I'd have wig prep in, I'd go do my 8 shows a week. I did 1500 shows more than with Beautiful. Like, I was always in a wig prep. I would take off my wig from the show and put on another wig, and no one ever saw my hair for the longest freaking time.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And going from that to.
Yeah. How does it feel?
Ooh, girl. It feels like walking outside in a thong. Like, like, oh my gosh. Like, is this okay?
It is okay. You know, I don't, I mean, we could talk about it for a moment, but I think part of the reason, there's so many different reasons why women, Black women, straighten their hair or wear wigs, and whatever reason that may have been, like, it is also, I don't know, it's so difficult. My mom's white, and I think a lot of the reason why I wanted my hair straight, I wanted to look like my mom. Like, I wanted, you know, and she had beautiful, like, curly, wavy hair. And I just wanted hair like hers that was easy to manage. Because every time I would go to the hairdresser, you know, I would walk in with my hair in a bun, and they go, okay, great, it's going to be $45. And my mom came back to pick me up, it'd be $100.
Not cool.
Yeah. And they would just roll their eyes and like get so mad that I had so much hair, and it made me feel terrible. I felt so bad for how much hair was on my head. I just never fully felt like it was fitting for me until I just fully embraced it. And I did. And God, it's so interesting, because like in the theater world, or even in TV and film, I've been in situations where my hair hasn't been appreciated, and I'm sure you have as well. But I've gone to auditions, and I've had casting directors for a TV pilot tell me, your hair, could you just pull it back? Could you do something? It's just too much.
Like, whoa.
Direct quote, it's just too much. Your hair's filling up the frame.
Okay.
Yes, traumatizing. And I didn't really recognize it as like a microaggression in the moment, but
now
we have that language, right? Because
it's part of the conversation.
It's part of the conversations that we're having on a regular basis, but I didn't really know what was going on, and I was just trying to conform. You know, I was like, okay, yeah, I'll push it back. And then I left, and I was like, why did that make me feel so weird?
Ah,
you know, and that's not right at all.
It's like coming from somebody who, you've taken care of your curls for a long time. It's not like you just like rolled out of bed. Like, and even if you did, but like you did, I know that you didn't. Like, you are hair goals. And so for somebody who I'm like looking at as hair goals, for somebody to tell you, it's just too much. I am offended.
I know. But on the opposite side of that, I've had people on TV sets who have done a beautiful, beautiful job with my hair. I shot for Nancy Drew in the fall. And when I flew up to Vancouver, I'm always nervous. I'm always, you know, always nervous on how they're going to receive, how much head is actually on my head. Because I do have a lot. And I understand that does take time. So I like to make sure that it's prepped, you know, for whatever that they need. And I do want to make sure that it's a collaborative process as far as, okay, like, what is going to make me feel good? Also, what can you do with my hair? You know? So we actually did make it a collaborative process, and I showed them pictures of styles and different styles that I've done before. And they're like, oh, I really like that. And so it was more of a team effort than – than situations that I've had in the past. And so that was a really, really positive experience for me, especially like being
in Canada.
Being in Canada. Yeah. I mean, it was a show, it was a CW show, but yeah, being in Canada and with a team of mostly, you know, white hairstylists and it was a positive experience. So I'm very happy and proud of how they dealt with that. You know, I never felt like it was like I was too much or whatever. They were just happy to be, you know, they're like excited to try new things and learn. And, I was really happy about that. So there's okay. Always both.
So I want to know, we can talk about this and we don't have to talk about this. So you were also like the first Black Elsa in Disney's at Disneyland Hyperion's Frozen.
Yeah.
We don't have to go into this because I worked at Disneyland too. And you're also still in California, so it might be a little different. Like, I don't know. Like, do you still do shows? Well,
I did. Yeah, I actually did. I did a couple when I first moved back. So I'm still like involved with the Hyperion and all the folks there. It's, you know how it is with Disney. It's like a big family. So it's nice to go back to sometimes.
So then like truly, you do not have to speak on this and we will move on. But like, how is your experience with Disney as a Black woman? And specifically in a role that was white in the cartoon?
Yeah. It was challenging at first. I did feel like an immense amount of pressure. I also felt that I was undeserving. Like, why me? Why am I the one? No, truly, because the way that things are done at Disney, you know, multiple people share the same role. And I wasn't the originator of this role. It was my friend Donna Loudon you know, during rehearsals, her and I would share ideas and we'd cry together during tech and everything. But she truly was the first person. Prior to me being Elsa, I was in the ensemble, and I actually still technically am in the ensemble. But Liesl, Tommy, our director. Pulled me aside early on in the process. And she said, "Hey, I want you to learn Let It Go. I know you, I originally auditioned for Elsa. So I kind of had an idea that eventually I would be doing that.
But goosebumps.
She's like, I want you to learn Let It Go. And I want you to sing it for Jason Michael Webb, when he comes to play for us, when the executives come. And so I was like, okay, practice with John, Tiana. We never had a second to practice with John. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And we never had a moment to get together privately, and there was no time in the day to schedule rehearsal ever. So every day when I would drive back from rehearsals, I would just press into my steering wheel and sing Let It Go as many times as I could. And that would be it. And then finally, we had a rehearsal with Jason when he came into town. And it was really interesting. But Liesl definitely squeezed me in through the back door, man. She knew what
looking
she was doing.
Out.
She was that looking out. Yeah.
Okay, so if y'all don't know who Liesl is, and I've never met her, but like, she's a black director, and it's one of those like representation kind of things, like having somebody on the other side of the table having representation, like it makes it feels. I mean, I've not worked with her, but I've only heard good things.
And it was one of those moments where you didn't really understand the impact until like you were finally there. Like I shrugged it off like, oh, okay, yeah, this is happening to me, or I'm going to do this thing, and tried not to make it a bigger deal than what it was. But it was a really big deal for Disney to do. And so there was a lot of feelings that came with that. Like I said, I was so, so nervous. I also felt like I did. I was playing a part that was a cartoon of a white woman. So
yeah.
I felt as if I did have to like fit into this box as yeah. actors in musical theater people do, you know, when you're yeah. replacing someone in a Broadway show or yeah. whatever the case may be, there's a genre, yada, yada. Like you feel like you have to fit into this box. Like yes. these are the confinements of where you fit and, uh-huh. and where the role goes and how big you can be or how black you can be.
Right.
Yes.
Black you can be.
Yes. And so wow. I definitely had, like, I definitely thought about that. And that was something that like Liesl, Jason and myself, like talked about. And it was scary. There were mm-hmm. moments, but I definitely felt the support from the creative team.
Good.
Minus makeup was a moment.
We're going to cut for a short ad break.
You know what? Honestly, I don't care. I'm just going to say it, but there was a moment in the creative process where here we go. Liesl brought in everyone that she wanted to work with creatively, but there was one aspect of the creative process that she had no control over. It was the makeup. So she didn't. I don't know. What? But they had a Disney purse. I know. So we're trying out different things, and Chuck did the wigs, and you know, Chuck,
New York Chuck,
yes.
Oh my gosh,
Chuck did the wigs, and so when he came in, you know, we chatted. He was like, "I did want to make your hair natural, like curly, but blonde." But Disney said no. I guess I don't know.
Dang.
But because it's just so weird. It's like, oh, it is a character and it's an image thing and, you know, that has to get approved and all these things. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, well then I'm black though. Okay. But there was this moment when we were doing the makeup tutorial, and I know that you're familiar with this day in any theatrical performance, but you know, you sort of get the breakdown of what you're supposed to do with the eyeshadow and where the glitter goes and what kind of eyelashes you get, yada,
all
yada,
the things.
Yada. All the things. So the makeup artist did my makeup that day and the whole foundation, everything, finished my makeup. I had the dress on already. And
to say.
I know. And so I was supposed to put on the wig. So I walked into the other room, put on the wig. Chuck helped me, you know. Did the whole thing. And I turned around, I look at myself in the mirror.
It's white. Is it white?
Yeah, my no. whole thing. Yeah. And I look at myself in the mirror and I said, and I chuckled just a little bit because I'm not trying to be disrespectful to her work, but I said, I look kind of white. Or I said, I think I said, I look white or I look like I'm a different race. And she goes,
my.
Yeah, this is the kicker. She goes, oh, well, honey, that's what we're going for. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's and Chuck and I just glared at each other. We locked eyes. And I spoke to him later and I said, "That's not what we're going for." Is she not understanding the whole?
To me it's like you're not even trying to cover it up. Just blatant. Like that is the like that's how I yeah. feel when the KKK era is celebrating on the news after something Trump said. I'm like, you're not even trying to pretend like it's not racist.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so, yeah, Liesl wasn't happy. No one was happy.
Shoot, man.
Yeah.
Did that change or did you end up going on stage that way? What ended up happening?
Oh, no. I didn't go on stage that way. You know, you go and you do your own makeup after that and it's fine. But these are the sort of that's not even micro. I was going to say microaggression. That's not. But these are the sort of things that we deal with all the time that we just brush off. Like I remember in that moment, I felt so uncomfortable, like that awful pit in your stomach, but I brushed it off.
And then a witness was like, I also see it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that really did happen when I see somebody else also acknowledge it. So
But
I wonder if that was just her, if that was Disney, and like, because I do feel the same way in terms of like a supportive, like they were trying to get me to do the Jasmine thing. Honestly, it's the worst audition of my life. And there was no way I was ever going to be Jasmine in Aladdin, but like they were, and Michael Cerna, who was the casting director at the time, he was like, I want you to do it exactly how you would do it. He's like, do not worry about what you think it should be, and it made me feel so, I felt safe, like racially safe in that moment. I was not a good fit. I am in Melto.
Yes, girl. That's okay. I like to live down there too, but everyone wants to give me the top line in every show.
Right. But you can do it. Like, okay. So I want to know now, like, what about Cher Show? How was your experience in the Cher Show? Was there like, I love that show, by the way.
Oh, thanks. It was, what a crazy experience. I think, it is really difficult to do a show about a legend that is still walking this earth and also still touring and rocking it and has a career that is thriving to this day.
Right.
That was really, really difficult. The Cher Show, I'm so thankful for that experience. It gave me my Broadway debut. It gave me some of the best friendships and relationships that I will, you know, take with me forever and ever for the rest of my life. But there definitely were some moments. I'm sure you've already heard about Maia and her situation with, I don't know if you have, the Ensemble has sort of covered it, I think, in their podcast. But
oh, I need to go back and read it.
Yeah. When there's only a certain amount of us in the building, you know, we congregate together and we kind of find moments to check in and say, hey, are you okay? Or that's not okay. Or why does she touch your hair all the time? Or, you know, things like that. And I'm glad that we did have that, because there were a few moments where that happened. And there also were moments where we had beautiful discourse and people had come to Jesus moments, you know, with situations that they never would have, So that was also great to have. You know, when you're in the ensemble, like, I mean, you know, but the sort of the tone of the women's ensemble sets like the tone for the building sometimes.
Yes, absolutely.
So you want to make sure that like there is some sort of, and I always felt that, like, I'm so energy based and.
Yes, me too.
Yeah. And I always kind of wanted to like bridge the gap or kind of find this common ground or something that we could do all together. And sometimes it was really hard. And I think that was just due to maybe, you know, disagreements from above trickling down to down below and us feeling the weight of that.
Okay.
You know, so I think that sometimes there's a little bit of conflict there. But overall, like, I'm so proud of how we came together.
Honestly?
Yeah. Like we came together, we showed up, we showed out, and
Yes, you showed out, and literally your body. Can we talk about your freaking body? Body, Adi, freaking Adi. Y'all, if you don't know who Tiana Okoye is, you need to look her the freak up right now.
I'm gonna post all
of her social media handles so you can stalk the F out of her. And you know what? If she's still doing it, she can do the berries. Oh my gosh, she goes freaking. Let me tell you, I am too afraid to do Berries Boot Camp because it's too hard. I like Orange Theory because I'm like, look, you can see I'm in the red zone. Please don't hurt me. But berries, like, You knock on wood for your trainer.
Let's talk about that for a second, because I do feel like there is this thing about the fitness industry that should be more. I mean, and Barry's is actually having a moment where we're doing a lot of work internally to look at our clientele and see who feels welcomed here. Oh. Who is, oh. Yes, yes. Oh. So there's a lot of things happening internally I'm so proud of, but that is a huge issue. I mean, like, body image is so, especially in the Broadway community, is like.
Talk about it.
Oh man. Like, you are a body, aren't you? Like,
I mean, but you are literally on stage in a thong.
In a thong.
And you all looked good. Everybody. There was not.
Thank you. Well, that's because we all were really fighting for it. We were at the gym every day. And listen, it's a lot of work. Let's just have a moment, because it is a lot of work. And I think it is unrealistic for us to look at that and that image as something that is completely one, like, sustainable lifelong. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
yes.
I'm doing 8 shows a week. I'm also teaching and I'm working out on top of it. So
wow.
Of course I'm going to look like that, and I'm taking care of my diet, you know, and making sure that I have one cheat day, or, you know, if I have a sip of
just
wine
on
or
your
like a
freaking
drink.
Grind.
I worked really hard, but there were some moments that were, and I caught myself early, and I'm glad I caught myself, that I was starting to get unhealthy, you know, self-image wise,
yes,
you know, where I would like look in the mirror and be like, oh, well, shouldn't have had that pizza yesterday. Oh. Like, I could see, I could literally see it. And that was all of us.
Wow.
You know, or like the majority of us. I don't want to speak for everyone, but I heard that all the time. And so then, of course, I did that to myself, and it just turns into this like perpetual, you know, it's this domino effect that just keeps on going and going. And it isn't sustainable, and it isn't the healthiest. You know, when you're thinking about your show closing and you're like, whoa, great, I don't have to keep it up that much. Like, I can kind of be a little bit more flexible. Like, that's a problem.
It's hard because it's like, I do think there is some flexibility depending on what kind of show you're in. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I could be a fatty. I'd regret it, but I could go on stage being a fatty. But if I had a costume that was like that big.
Oh. Yeah, being in a thong for, I had three, how many outfits did I have that were a thong? A lot.
a lot.
We had our opening number that was a thong, like straight out of the gate, a thong, you know, and listen.
We were like, what?
I'm not complaining, because I felt sexy as hell. I did. And I felt so good in my Bob Mackie. Like, I truly did. I felt really, really good, but it took me a while to get to this place where I was like, okay, I love this. I love my body. I love, you know, the balance that I've created, because for a moment I did kind of, you know, get into this negative space of, okay, don't look at that. Mm-hmm. Don't look at that. Mm-mm. Like, got too much fruit, Tiana. That's a lot of sugar. Like, whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. And I just, I clocked that right away. And I was like, listen, food is fuel. Okay.
Right.
No, like, it really is. You need to take care of yourself. And if you're not mentally taking care of yourself, then you're not physically taking care of yourself.
No, truly. Even before these podcasts, I'm like, I have to eat before every interview, or else I'm like,
Same. I did the same thing. And listen, I know everyone's goals. I also want to speak to, like, everyone has specific goals that they are trying to accomplish in their fitness journey. And so I do want to completely honor that and respect that, because that hustle is incredible and specific to the person who is choosing it. So I'm not shaming anyone who is keeping it tight all the time. Listen, I'm trying to as well, but I had always, prior to share, like, I had always worked out purely to feel good and like purely to feel strong and good. And that was the first time that I was working out to look a certain way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it was different for me. I mean, even as a Barry's instructor, I was like, like I've been so used to like telling other people and you know, doing that. But, and I think a lot of the time for Barry's as well, like it is a place for people to feel good, to walk out of the red room, like feeling sexy, you know, you're in those red lights and it's a whole thing. So it is like an empowerment thing. And that's what really gravitated me towards Barry's. But, yeah, I don't know. It's different for everyone. So I just want to, I want to say that as a little disclaimer that, that's okay. You know?
All right. Okay. And wait, one other thing about Cher. The night that Hillary Clinton came to the show.
Yes.
I was there that night. That was my second time seeing it.
Oh, that's right.
The audience was freaking nuts. Like it was, did you guys get to meet her after?
Yes. Yeah. We took a picture.
Did she say anything?
You know, usually how those things go. I mean, it's like the leads will take a photo, the whole group will take a photo, and then usually the leads like stay and they chat for a little bit because they stay in their costumes. You know, yeah, the Shares would stay in their costumes, Sonny Bono, like the leads, and they would chat for a little bit. So unless you wanted to wait until everyone else chatted, then you just go and change. And depending on like your night or whatever, you know, how many people are lined up waiting to talk to Hillary, depending on, you know, if you stayed or not.
Okay. And one other thing, there's a couple of things, and then I'm going to let you go. Can we talk about the bloodbath? Do you remember the bloodbath? Okay, y'all.
Oh, we showed up for that bloodbath. We came with, what are those things called? The like little hats?
Yes, with the, you can see through. Wait, time out. Y'all, if you don't know, there was a point in Broadway that made history until the pandemic blew that out the water, when a whole bunch of shows on Broadway closed at the same freaking time.
It was a dark moment. Oh, man.
A dark moment. I think somebody from Pretty Woman hosted a party with all the shows that were slated to close. It was like eight of us or something. Eight shows. And to where we were all in the same room, like commiserating, drinking, and also partying together. It was like, it was nuts.
It was absolutely nuts. And so needed, I think. We all kind of needed that moment for sure.
And Cher show, y'all showed up like in tandem, like looking like we are ready for a funeral, but looking fierce as heck.
Like, oh yeah, we had to. We were like, you know what? We are going to show up in our, what are those called? The
fascinator.
Fascinator. Yeah, one of those. Fascinator. Mm-hmm. Is that it? I don't know. Yeah,
y'all looked good.
We had those. We had roses. You know, we were mourning the loss of Broadway.
Our Broadway shows.
Little did we know.
Little did we freaking
2020 would happen and completely just,
blow everything out the water.
Yep.
All right. And one last thing. I know that I touched on this a little bit earlier, but I want to say it one last time. Just like watching you and your confidence with your hair is inspiring, Tiana. It really is. Like you were rocking your curls in a time when the media, when TV, when everybody on screen was straightening their hair. Like I remember looking at you and being like, why isn't she straightening her hair? Like when I was in the mindset of everybody straightens their hair and you weren't. And it was like, it was eye-opening to me, like, I think she loves it that way. Huh. Like I never even had the thought of loving it, like my own. Like that didn't even cross my mind until I watched you. So.
Wow. Thank you, love. Thank you. And I like I said before, it was such a journey. It took me a while to get there. And I never thought that would be me. Truly, but it was sort of a happy accident where I was like forced to embrace it. And then I was like, you know what? Like, this is me. This is my hair. And that came with a lot. It really did. It came with me going out and people asking to touch it and, you know, or not even asking and just putting their hands in my hair. But so I think the more that we embrace our natural hair, the more that we just get out there and we do it, the less people are going to feel so inclined to like want to pet it because they think, you know, so like I said, everyone's journey is different and how you want to wear your hair is your choice, but just embrace those curls and they look so beautiful on you, Salisha. They look so gorgeous. All of your hair care recommendations because your curls are stunning.
Thank you. I love you. Thank you. And thank you for coming on Black Hair in the Big Leagues.
Oh my gosh.
You're the bomb. All right. I'll talk to you soon. Okay, girl.
Okay. Love you.
I love you too.
I love Tiana so much. She's got such a big heart and also her curls are just to die for. I have such a curl crush on her. Please follow her on Instagram at Teo. That's at TEE_OHHH. And so please go follow her and give her some love. Shout out to the Broadway Podcast Network. Shout out to Wilton Music for producing my theme song, Love COD. Shout out to London Baskerville for editing this episode. Hey girl! I hope you're enjoying listening to this podcast. I'm so grateful to have you as a listener. If you'd like to support, please find us on Patreon. I upload all my episodes there early and for your convenience. And there's some merch there as well. Also, rate this podcast, leave us a review, and share the love. Tell a friend. Y'all, thank you for listening to Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas. See you next week.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.